Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for joining in and listening wherever you're listening from. It's an honor to be at your service. I'm blessed and highly favored. We thank God. Y'all, guys, this series is just getting hotter and hotter, man. This series is just getting better and better, man. Glory be to God. How do you mean it's getting better and better? Testimony, what are you talking about? You guys. This episode is about doubt and indecisiveness causing us stress, which leads to stress. What do you mean by that? Well, when you're indecisive, right, you start doubting. And that brings stress. Because doubt is a response to lack of trust. What do you mean? See, this one that you guys keep asking, what do I mean? All right, let's look at God's word, right? Let's look at what the Bible says about doubt. Now, mind you, you might say, well, I'm not doubting. I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking questions. We both know that there's a difference between asking because there's unsurety and asking because we're seeking to understand. And when it comes to seeking to understand, go read Acts 8 and see about the Ethiopian eunuch. There you'll see. Now, about the main event, we're looking at what the Bible says about doubt, right? And with that, if you haven't downloaded the Bible app by now, you should download it. And before we go into it, let's just go ahead and pray. We can't forget to pray ever, because one thing the Bible says is to pray without ceasing. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed, beautiful morning, God. We thank you for your glory, and we thank you for your favor, and we thank you, Lord God Almighty, for faith, Lord. We thank you that you have built in us faith that is so strong, even though all you required of us is a mustard seed. We thank you that you have been growing our faith, Lord, and we thank you for establishing and firming our trust in you, Lord, and your foundation, and in your presence, and in everything that you are for us, to us. And we thank you for establishing and making it known that you are about us. Lord, I just pray right now in this very moment that every ear under the sound of my voice, listening to my voice, that every ear listening releases their will and stubbornness, Lord, so that they may be able to understand and be edified. And I bind up every spirit of doubt and indecisiveness and stress in their lives, Lord God Almighty. And I release the spirit of faith. I release the spirit of trust. I release the spirit of surety. I release the spirit of peace over them, Lord God Almighty. And I decree that so it is in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you guys. Now, the first verse we're going to look into, right, is going to be James 1, verse 6. James 1, verse 6. What does that say? It reads, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." I really and truly hope we've all been to the beach and we know how waves come and go. And, you know, there are times that the current moves differently. Nonetheless, though, when you're wavy, you're up and down. You feel me? And it's unstable. And let's look furthermore to what it says, right? In James 1 verse 8, it says, "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Exactly what it was saying about, you know, being tossed and driven by the wind. Have you ever left a sheet hanging outside and the wind is blowing? If you see the way it's being tossed in the wind, imagine your mind and your life being like that simply because of the fact that there is doubt. Hence why we bind up the spirit of doubt and we cast it out in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, another verse, right? Look, let's go to Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in verse 3 it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Meaning that in order, like, now, as it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things you are hoping for, you haven't even seen, right? And it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God is invisible. The only time he became visible was when he came down, when Jesus came down. And he was fully God and fully man. God manifesting in the flesh. Jesus, his son. And words. You don't see the words that you speak. We don't see the words that we speak. Nonetheless, though, when we do speak, the things, depending on the things that come out of our mouth, we begin to see it in our reality. In some way, shape, or form. Which is why it says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And in as much as the tongue is one of the smallest members of our body, it is the most powerful. Well, it is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful. Because you can think things and see it not come to pass. But the moment we speak the things that we are thinking, glory be to God. If it is not the will of God, it will not come to pass. And sometimes God will let it be so that we can learn and see to tame our tongue and to be wary. Glory be to God. So now, I hope we're really getting somewhere, because we're going to go to Mark 11, 23. That's going to be our next verse. And in Mark 11 verse 23, it reads that, "For assuredly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, when I spoke about how we can think things, but the moment we speak these things, right, we can start to see it manifest in our reality in some way, shape, or form. It is simply because of the faith that we have, the authority that we have when we speak. Because when you say something, let's say now, right, you think to yourself, "I don't really trust this person." It's a thought. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself saying, it's not even all of a sudden, because, well, sometimes it happens all of a sudden. And then you find yourself saying, "I don't really trust this person." Now you're starting to question the friendship or relationship, the intentions and everything. Although you may say to yourself, "I know I'm all right with this person, but there's something that I don't just trust about them." Now that is where doubt has started to come in, and now you're unsure if this friendship or relationship is as solid as you once thought it was. Now, all this could be based on things you have seen and observed over time. Nonetheless, though, it is better to not speak and just see, right? And listen. Because we have two eyes and we have two ears. So, and we have one mouth. So we're to observe and listen twice as much as we speak. Because I say to you, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And then in verse 24, it goes to say, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Because at the end of the day, when we believe God for things, we start to see it, we see it, we receive it. We have to have faith that it is ours, and we have to also trust mercy. You guys, we don't serve a God that will not bless us. We serve a God that pleasures in blessing us. We serve a God that pleasures in being with us, seeing, like sitting with us, communing with us. We serve a God. Mercy. You guys, Jesus was about to be crucified, and one of the last things he did was to wash the feet of his disciples. Mercy. So when he says to us to believe, it is not for his sake. It's not because he needs us to believe that he's going to. It is for us to be able to be sure within ourselves and to be able to stand firm in our authority and in our being and say, we know and we trust the Lord God, our Savior. We know and we trust the God that we serve. For we know, glory be to God, because he is bountiful and merciful and gracious to do above all. In fact, God is looking to blow your mind. He is looking to blow your mind. The moment you lift up those boundaries, the moment you cast out, the moment you bind up that distrust and you cast it out, and you bind up that unfaithfulness and you cast it out, and you're standing firm in your faith and in your trust, glory be to God, he will begin to blow your mind. Because now he's looking, he's like, case closed. Ah, hey, she's ready. He's ready. I'm about to do more than they even think and believe that I can do. And that is the type of God we serve. That is certainly the type of God I serve. Because even in the midst of our distrusting and our doubting, he still blesses us. He will still bless us. How much more when we release the doubt, when we bind up and cast out the doubt and the indecisiveness. Glory be to God. Please. Mercy. Glory be to God. And so, with that, right, let's go and look at Matthew 14. We're going to go look at Matthew 14, verse 31. And in Matthew 14, verse 31, right, this is when Peter was walking towards Jesus on water, and it reads, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Right? Because here's what happened. When Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on water to go towards Jesus. And here's where it got wavy.
All right, y'all. So things got wavy the second Peter started to look at the sea. Like, okay, hold on. So when Peter got distracted by the boisterous waves, right? That's when he began to sink and fall, right? And he was like, and he cried out to God to help him. And all right, one second. Let me. Okay, so back in Matthew 14, right? Back in Matthew 14, after Matthew 14, we're reading from verses 28 through 31, or 32, honestly. And then, you know, he said, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous," meaning it became stormy and wild, "Peter became afraid and he began to sink and he cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now, at first, Peter was going steadily until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started seeing the conditions of things around him, which started causing him to doubt that he'd actually get across. You understand? And the moment he started doubting, mercy, he began to sink. And then he cried out to the Lord as he was sinking, as he began to sink, saying, "Lord, save me." And granted, as always, Jesus will always catch us. He won't let us fall. He won't let us sink. He won't let us drown. You feel me? And he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Meaning that in that point in time, it had been a test. A literal test of Peter's faith and devotion and focus. Mercy. So now the next verse we're going to go ahead and go into is Matthew 21:21. And Matthew 21:21 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done.'" See, a lot of the things that we face in the physical, right, are blocks that have been set up in the spiritual realm. And consider, like, in the Bible, it talks about, so one may look at it and think of physical mountains, but when we really look at what a mountain is a natural occurrence that people usually scale mountains. Think about Mount Everest. Like, they go mountain climbing to overcome, to conquer the mountain, right? Mountains are things that are to be conquered, things that seem impossible until it's actually done. So, like, let's say you have, like, a multi-billionaire corporation in mind, right? And you tell, like, one of your closest friends about it, and they're like, "Bro, that sounds like it's impossible, honestly." And yes, they've said that. Nonetheless, though, if you don't have faith in your plan, if you don't have faith in your idea, if you don't have faith in that dream, then you have let them set up a mountain, a stumbling block in the spiritual. Because words have power. So now you're Now, if you do not have faith, you're going to start dealing with doubt on whether it's actually possible or not. But need I remind you, with Christ, all things are possible. Through Christ, all things are possible. The impossible is, I am possible. And I believe that we don't have big dreams for nothing. The big dreams that we have in this life have been placed there in us by God, because there are things that He wants us to do. There are things that He wants us to do and serve His people with the dreams that He's placed in us, right? So if we have faith and we work with Him on them, they will come to pass. Trust and believe. And honestly, I'll say to you, if you don't caution the doubters in your life, if you can't caution them, kick them out. You deserve the peace that comes with, you know, simply being able to just trust in the Lord and believe that He has it all under control. And don't doubt your, well, yeah, actually, doubt your doubts before you doubt Christ. Don't doubt God. Doubt your doubts. When doubts start to rise up, doubt those. Be like, yo, you, like, not even, you really think it's not possible. You really think you're impossible. Bet, watch, because the God I serve makes all things possible. And boom, there you are, right back on track. So yeah, you guys, that's all I have to say when it comes to doubt. Now, when it comes to indecisiveness, right? Being indecisive is being unable to make a decision between two choices or more. Nonetheless, though, need I remind you, there is God's will, God's choice. There is the counterfeit. And really, the reality is that because we are living in the world, again, because we are not of the world and we live in the world, and for everything God has said and put in place for us, the devil has a counterfeit. Meaning that there is something that the devil has in line that looks like what God has said, right? It looks like what God has said. Honestly, and sometimes it may look better. Keyword look. This is now the devil is focusing on the lust of the eyes. Glory be to God. And now, instead of having discernment, praying for discernment and trusting God's will and God's way, we start to, you know, dabble between back and forth between the narrow path and going the wide way. And the road to hell is wide. It is wide. Because it is the way of the world. And because of social influences and everything else, there are so many ways to create a normalcy in the things of the world that will lead ultimately to our death and destruction, which is what the devil wants, because he has been predestined. The devil has been predestined for eternal doom in hell. And he's trying to drag us with him, which is why it is necessary and important for us to stay on the straight and narrow. Glory be to God, man. That was a sneeze. Stifled. Now, for indecisiveness, let's look to Matthew 6:24. In Matthew 6:24, right? This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Right? Basically translating to choose this day whom you shall serve. And we're going to go look to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Verse 15, which reads, And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And personally, for me, that's a personal declaration that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Because at the end of the day, right, when you dedicate yourself, when you dedicate your household, when you dedicate your family to the Lord, He will make their path straight. He will make your path before you straight. He will continue to be the lamp unto your feet, right? And if you remember, there was a particular prophet that was mocking the other prophet. Mercy, hallelujah. Like Prophet Elijah had a ball. Well, I wouldn't say he had a ball mocking the prophets of Baal, but like, honestly, think about it. These people began to cut themselves, make deep lacerations, and were bleeding out in order to get this god of theirs, little g, this god of theirs to like act and speak and move, which obviously was not happening because that was a god created out of the things that God himself had created, which shows us that we can't worship anything else but our creator. We can't be in communion with anything or anyone else but our creator. Granted, we can be in communion with one another in the midst, in the presence of our creator, meaning we're all focused in him and on him and living his way, which is so much better for us because from there, we don't have to deal with stress. And granted, there are things in this world that, and there are people that will try to bring us and cause us stress. But once we are rooted and we stay rooted and planted in Jesus Christ and his word, then it's just really over with. So what do you mean by that? Let's look to Proverbs 16:3. Where it reads, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now, in whatever you do and say, there are people that have, like, always have something to say about it, right? Or they always feel some type of way or think some type of way about it. Nonetheless, though, that cannot affect you because the things that you are doing are rooted in Christ. You're being led and instructed by him, and therefore, your thoughts are not about what they think, how they feel, or whatever. Your thoughts are simply about, like, you know, what God has told you to do. And he will bring peace to your mind because they will say things and try to do things to cause you to be unstable in the spirit and in the mind. But the Lord God will be your anchor, your solid anchor, your solid rock, and he will hold you down. Glory be to God. And another verse I want us to take a look at is 1 John 4:18, which reads, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, remember how I said people are going to try to say things and do things to cause you to be unstable in the spirit and in the mind. They are working in fear because fear involves torment. And when it's about love, glory be to God, when it's about love, there is no fear, right? There's encouragement, there is correction, there is guidance, there is love. And if you have fear, then you haven't been made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Now, the person whose love we are to focus on and to dwell in is the love of Christ, because through his love, all things are established. Through the love of God in Christ, everything is established and everything is made well. So therefore, nobody can come to you and say anything about anything, especially to cause you to fear. and falter, especially when you're established in Christ and you know what he says and you know what his word says and you know how he felt about you because he has died for you. This person standing in front of you trying to tear you down has not even laid their jacket across a puddle for you to step over. Talk more of dying for you. So why would we ever even listen to them or even let them, like, you know, try to get into our heads or even give them an entryway? People always try to come and attack you and your faith and where you stand and who you stand with. But you know the God you serve. At least I do. And because we serve the same God, then our position is solidified. Our state of mind is established. Glory be to God. Our peace is everlasting and surpasses all understanding. So yes, let them do and say what it is they want. Once you've established those boundaries and they decide that they're going to continue, you do not have to continue with them or alongside them. Caution them, correct them in love, with love, and keep pushing. Right? And after that, we're going to look to Jeremiah. Turn me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, which says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Again, I already said that we're to focus on Christ and his kingdom and everything about him establishing his works. Well, even though they've already been established, we're to spread the good news, the gospel, right? And we're to spend time in communion with God, literally, if not all our time, then a good majority of our time. Because when we seek him, we will find him. Because we are searching for him with all our hearts. When you're entirely devoted to seeking God, right? There is no way he will not reveal himself to you, right? And, okay, how do we go about seeking God? Well, through his word, through studying his word, through praying, through praising, through fasting, right? We get revelations. We get answers to our prayers. You know, we get a deeper knowledge and understanding of God. Glory be to God, man. And it's just all he needs is our soul devotion and focus and dedication. Because through him and seeking him, everything else is being established. Because God wants good things for you. He wants great and abundant things for you. As do I. So yes. And our last chapter. Because he doesn't want you stressing, honestly. Like, God loves us that much that even though we will go through trials and tribulations because we are not of the world, although we are in the world and people are going to try to persecute us. And I said try because their persecutions hold no weight, especially since we're in Christ. Nonetheless, though, it doesn't stop them from trying. So now let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Which reads, "And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." What does that mean? Remember how I said from Jeremiah 29:13, we seek God by like praying, fasting, focusing and studying his word, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14 actually gives us like direction, which tells us to pray and seek God's face and to repent. To turn from our wicked ways means to repent. When we repent, we're confessing our sins and we're asking God for forgiveness and we're asking for his help to keep from sinning, right? Think about like addiction, right? When you're in a state of addiction, you have no control over what it is that you're addicted to, not your use and abuse. You have no control. And so therefore, in order to stop, you have to surrender.
And when you surrender, glory be to God, when you surrender, you're handing it over to God and you're like, listen, God, I know how I got here. I don't know. And I know why I can't stop. I can't stop because I don't have you. And I haven't really surrendered and let things go. So therefore, you have to surrender and let it go. And you have to be willing. You have to really and truly be willing to stop and let God work. And watch it happen. Because he will do it for you. Just as he has done for me. He's not stopping with me. He's definitely continuing. Glory be to God. We just have to be willing to let God work, and we have to be willing to stop, and we have to be willing to surrender. We have to be willing to surrender and actively surrender. We have to be willing to let him in and to clean up and put our houses in order. And our houses is our temple, our mind, our spirit, our heart, to put it all in order. So you guys, with that in mind, we have come to the end of our fifth episode, Doubt and Indecisiveness Causing Stress. Glory be to God, man. And so I'm just going to pray us out real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the completion of this season. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us with a new month. Lord, I thank you that you have been faithful throughout the year and all through the years that have passed. Lord, I thank you that you will continue to be faithful, Lord, in the coming years. Lord, all I pray and ask, Lord, is that you help us to be just as faithful to you in the next coming years, and as this year comes to an end, and to continue being faithful to you just as you have been with us and to us, O Lord God Almighty. I just pray that you keep us from sinning and you keep our minds from doubting, Lord. And I pray that you keep that, and I pray that you keep us from falling prey to the enemy's attacks on our minds and our spirits, Lord. And I pray that we hold steadfast to your word and anchored in your word and in your love, and know and trust that all things are made possible through you, especially the things that seem impossible to man, because your ways are not our ways, and our thoughts, Holy Ghost, because our ways are not your ways, and our thoughts are not your thoughts, for your ways and your thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts, and it has not entered into the heart of man, nor ears have seen, nor ears have heard, nor eyes have seen. Glory be to God. All it is that you have planned for those that love you. Because everything we need and want, all our needs are supplied according to your riches and glory through Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, and we love you. Especially because you loved us first. And we love to praise your holy name. Glory, hallelujah. All right, y'all. Stay safe. Stay a blessing and be blessed always. I love you. And Jesus loves you way more.